Let's begin. We're up to that. Let's start today from let's go up to date. Today's daf Ayin Tes. So let's start from Ayin Ches on the days. Let's start from Ayin Ches on the days from the two dots Tana Rabbanan. Lom Shesugya. Lom Shesugya. Mosi Shtar Choyv. Tana Rabbanan. Hamoitzi Shtar Choyv. Ad Shloi Pirei. First takes out on Shabbos a Shtar Choyv. You have a star, and the star entitles you to collect. A star entitles you to collect money. Okay, so the shalvi, you take out the star. Are you chayif hoitza for taking out the star? Does this star have the shear? Is it of any value? Hamoti star chayiv ad shaloi piroi. Okay, ad shaloi piroi chayiv. Okay, so the halach is that if the shtar has not yet been paid off, if the person, the lender has in his possession the shtar, and the shtar entitles him to collect, he has not yet collected, so he's chai because the shtar is very, very valuable for him. Okay, the shtar is very valuable. Misha peroi, but let's say the shtar already has been collected, has been paid off. So then what is the halacha? The halacha is the shtar is of no value, because what do you do with the shtar that has been paid off? One of two things. Either you destroy it, or you give the shtar to the borrower, because that otherwise it's a danger. If you do not give the shtar to the borrower, then what's going to happen? What's going to happen is
he'll collect again.
So therefore it is of no value to you. The star has to be destroyed. Therefore the star has no value. If you take it on Shabbos, you're going to be potter. So Nachmal, if you did not yet collect, it entitles you the power of collection. It's valuable. It can be worth $1 million. But if the star already has been paid, so what are you doing with the star in your possession? You have no right even to have it in your possession, either destroy it or give it to the borrower. The fact that it's in your possession is no good. Memela, it has no chashivus in your possession. Memela, there's no shear. It's like it doesn't have the shear. And memela, you potter for it saw on Shabbos, you carry this in the street. But me potter, period. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af mishleperor chayiv, imnei shadayin tzarech lo. This is no. Even if you already paid it off, you chayif. Why? Because you need it. Because you would. Now, what exactly do you need it for? What exactly do you need it for if you already paid off the Gemara? So my bin, what's the nafkamina? Rav Yosef, Gemara is coming to explain what is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. What is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda? More answer. Rabbi Yosef also lishoy shtar perua ika ben hayu. Rabbanan Savri, also lishoy shtapruah, it's also to hold on to shtapruah, the mail is no value. Rabbi Savar, lishoy shtapruah, you're permitted, mutter lishoy shtapruah, you're allowed to hold it in your possession. Why? Why would he hold it? You hold it in the possession? So the reason, because, I'm reading it from the side. So what's the law? What does Rashi over here say? What is Rashi? Rashi over here says, "My benayu, also lishoy shtar perua mishum shnem al tishkon v'olech avla hilkoch malve le'mashi le'lotzopitz luchusay." To go use the bottle cap, mishum iser v'levenami le'mashi le'shema yavay lidei malve v'yachsev v'enu. Oh. But the difference is the loive. That's the difference. The loive is mibnei shadayin sarchlay. Rabbi Yosef said muta lishay shtapu yaday. Wait, what's the lam? This Rashi muta Rashi hilkach ki hoytziyoy malve chayiv ditzorich loy lichrech al pitzil tzuluchas. Okay, I don't know more than this. Okay, I'm not going to go into. I know the lam. This. What's talking about? Why does he hold you? Let hold in your possession. How could it possibly be? Isn't this a violation of the halacha of al tishkon v'lecha avla? So here in the Masifta it says, The lomdis says, "Biatam she'avshem mudel l'shoyse b'sashtar l'shtamish b'lotzu b'lchuso k'mokem haloive enoy masha oisa shi'yorei shema yoived mimenu hashtar v'yimtzin ma'malve." V'yachse v'yigva b'lofi u'shtam zeim hoitzi adam acher chayv al hoitzos kevin shu l'otzu. Rak haloive ene chayv al hoitzu osai. The loive is not chayv. Because I think it's not enough to me. The Gemara, there's the Machlokes of the Gemara. Is there an Israel lishoy shtar pruviyot? Is there an Israel person if you have in your possession a shtar, and the shtar has been paid off, are you allowed to keep the shtar in your possession? According to the Tanakhama, it is awesome.
Why should that make a difference whether you're chayv or not?
Because if you're allowed to keep it in your possession, you can use it lotzur al pitz luchusoy. It has a function in your home. You can crumble it up and you can stick it into a bottle of wine to keep the wine closed. It has a function. If it has a function and you now take it out on Shabbos, you're chayv. The person takes out a piece of paper on Shabbos, it's chayv. If you take out a piece of paper on Shabbos,
Is that something that's typical that somebody would use that?
Yes, it is. Yes, a regular piece of paper that has no problem with it, an ordinary piece of paper exactly equivalent to this shtar, under ordinary circumstances, is permitted. There is no issue whatsoever. You are. It has. Yechayi for Yitzhak on Shabbos. This instance is unique because this piece of paper has written upon it a shtar that entitles you to collect. And if you already were paid, so you may come to be nichshol and steal money and collect a second time. So now it's problematic. So according to the Rabbanan, this type of shtar, this piece of paper, which has upon it a paid of debt, must be destroyed. Memela, you're not allowed to use it as a bottle cap. Therefore, if a person carries this on Shabbos, he is potter. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a piece of paper that entitles you to collect that you've been paid, you're allowed to keep in your house. You're allowed to keep. There's no problem whatsoever. You can keep in the house. Now, it could be the case, well, I don't know all the problem, but it could be the case going where you wrote a receipt. You wrote a receipt to the borrower. So if you come now and you take, there's no din of al tishkon b'olecha av, that's the machlek. It's according to Rabban, even though you wrote a receipt, you still have an obligation to destroy the shtar because maybe the borrower will lose his receipt. And then you will find this shtar in your home and you'll come to collect. So the Rabbanan said, we want over here double protection. Protection for the borrower, two ways.
Yeah? Let me ask you a question. So in Mitzvah Baba Aveira, we know that's a problem. Lulav HaGozel, etc. So here you have an Aveira HaBaba Aveira. What do I care? That it's also to keep it. This piece of paper is choshvim as a bottle stopper. The fact that it's forbidden for him to have it in his possession.
The Chazal are the ones who set the rules. Chazal are saying, you're saying a very chiddush, is that the laws of Shabbos are not totally in Mitzias. Even though Taka, this piece of paper, the Mitzias, has a tafkit, you can use as a bottle cap, but since the halacha does not allow you to possess it, because of the Yisrael al tishkoin be'oyolecha avla, that is enough for Chazal to say it's like it has no shear. He's saying the laws of Yitzhak and Shabbos are not totally in Mitzias. It's totally in halacha. Since you're not allowed to possess this piece of paper in your home because of the danger, you may come to steal, it's osur, so it's michtas kosis shi'ure. It's like it's destroyed by Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah. Michtach, you have Isra Hanok, can you use it for a lulav? A lulav that someone bowed down to as an idol. Can you be mekayim the mitzvah of Dalad Min? The answer is no. Why? Because the lulav needs a minimum shear. What's the minimum? And if since this thing is also bahana, it's meant to be destroyed, michtas kosis shi'ure, it's like it's been dissolved. So Nechlami is saying, Mechidish, that's exactly what over here, Nechlami. Okay? So that's where it's maskana. Well, we have your shtar. So therefore, the loive gets a receipt. So the question is, just because loive gets a receipt, is that enough to allow the malve to hold on to the shtar? According to Rabbi Yehuda, yes. If the loive has a receipt, the malv is now allowed to hold in his possession the shtar and he can use it as a bottle cap. Memela, if you carry out on Shabbos, it has value. But there is one nafkamina. Over here on the bottom of the page, it says nafkamina. What happens if the loive comes as a guest to the malva for Shabbos, and the loive, the borrower, carries out this shtar into the Rishus HaRabim? So for the loive, it has no value. For the loive, it's a thorn in the eyes of the loive. You hear the vart? You hear the vart? Okay, right, next one. Abaye Amar. Abaye says, no, hold on, mahalech. Abaye says, the Kuli Amarun agrees also, lamalve, lisha, shtar, perua. No, everyone b'emes holds. B'emes, a malve is not allowed to have in his possession a shtar perua, al tishkon, b'olecha avla. So what is machlaikis? V'yacha b'moide b'shtar, sh'kosovoy, sh'tzoch l'kai moikom. Here we have a unique instance. This shtar has on it, it says in the shtar that you owe me, I owe you $1,000. And two witnesses signed the shtar. But the two witnesses have not been validated. They've not been validated. So if you have a shtar that says that I owe you $1,000 and there are two witnesses signed on the shtar, for all practical purposes, it is worthless. You hear, it's worthless. Why is it worthless? Because it has not been validated. Is that clear?
Yep.
So, but there's a solution. How can you validate it? If the loive admits that it's MS, if the loive admits the shtar is MS, does that take the place of validation? That is the machlokes.
Yes, it does.
What?
Can something kiksuva, like it's written and delivered in Bezdin? What's the famous line with that? The famous line.
I don't know. Haidos baldin, haidos baldin, kimeya edim damya. Haidos baldin. So it seems over here that in this particular instance, not everyone agrees. Let's see the Gemara. The Gemara over here says, Abaye Amar Tuli Amar Unigus, also Lishos Star, Pruva, Bavacha, Bavoy, Dibashak, Shakar, 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 Tanakam Sava. Tanakam beholds, Moide, Bishtar, Shakar, Savoy, Sarich, Lekhaimoy, it's meaningless. Just because the loive says that it's a good shtar, it doesn't matter. He can change his mind. He can change his mind. Later on, if the malve comes to collect, the malve, the loive can say, prove that it's an emes shtar. But you admit it. You admit it. No? Moide b'shtar shekesavoy does not matter. It's sarich l'kaima m'mele. As long as the shtar has not yet been validated, it is worthless. Memela, if he takes it out on Shabbos, he is potter. Rabbi Huda Savar, no. Moide b'shtar shekasoy, ain sarach l'kaimai. Admission that it's a valid shtar automatically upgrades it to a full-fledged shtar, and that entitles the lender to collect. Therefore, it has value. If it has value, yichayif hoyitzah on Shabbos. Now, the word, if that's the talk of the pshat, my ad shaloi pira'oi u'mishe pira'oi. It says here in the Mishnah, it would make a difference. If the shtar has not yet been paid, yechayef. If the shtar has been paid, yepater. How does moide b'shtar shiksavoi fit into those words? Because according to what we're saying now, in both instances, the shtar was not paid. So the Gemara says, Ad shayoyma haloyve parati veloy parati. What it means to say over here is, in Echanan, when it says ad shaloy piroi means, ad shaloy piroi in this context means that the loyve does not say it was paid. In other words, but if the loyve says misha piroi, the loyve says it was paid, then the malve cannot. Oh, if the loive says that it was not paid, then in a chanami, then it has value. But if the loive says it was paid, like a migu, the same way I'm going to validate the shtar that it's a valid shtar, you also have to believe me that it was paid. You hear, it's a migu. In other words, if the loiva comes along and the loiva says, yeah, you're right, the witnesses are emes, the shtar is an emes a shtar, but I also want to let you know in my same the same breath is that this shtar was paid. Oh, so in that case, you're it's a double whammy. You're admitting that it's an emes to kashtar, but you're also saying that it was paid.
Double whammy, start again.
Let's say the loiva says, yes, I admit that this shtar is emes. I admit. But I also want you to know that it was paid. So it's a migu. Now you have here a migu. The same way you believe me that the shtar is emes, you also have to believe me that the shtar was paid. So in that case, the halacha is the loive, in that case, then the malvel loses. So in other words, the starting point here is that the loive says the shtar is emes. Am moide b'shtar shakasova. However, if that's only the first part of the statement, I admit the shtar is emes. Rabbi Yehuda says, I admit the shtar is emes. If the shtar is emes, now what? And that's it. Oh, it's emes and you did not yet pay? Oh, it has value. It has value. If I take it out on Shabbos, I'm going to be chayef. But if the loiva says, I admit the shtar is emes, but I also, in the same breath, telling you the shtar was paid, so now the shtar is worthless. That is what it means here, Rabbi Yehuda, ad sheyoyma ha-loiva parati, v'loy parati. The loiva, either he says, amoideh, that it's emes to kashtar, but the loiva also has to go to the next level and say, tell us if it was paid or not paid. Okay, that's the next part of this. That's that part of the line. Good.
Yep.
Okay, next. Rava says the Kuli Amar. Really, I tell you, everyone agrees. B'shtar shuk savay shetzach lekaimoi. Everyone agrees. Moide b'shtar shuk savay shetzach lekaimoi. Everyone agrees that if you moide b'shtar shuk savay shetzach lekaimoi. It's like a Yehuda. Just because you admit that the shtar is emes, it's not enough. It's not like the Tanakama. Moide b'shtar shaksavoy, shetzach lekaimoy, and therefore the shtar is it's worth nothing then. Just because you admit that it's a valid shtar does not entitle the lender to collect. He still needs to validate the shtar. V'yacha b'kaitzin shoyver kol mifugi. The nachmin over here is, do we write a receipt? So here we go. Tanakh Masavar, Kaisvin Shaivar, we write a receipt for the borrower. And therefore, the Malve can force the Loive to receive the receipt, okay, and not the Shtar. Therefore, the Malve does not have the Loitzach Lizach Malve as a Shtar, and you have to give it away. The malve cannot force the borrower to mekabel a receipt, but rather the loive can force him to give him the shtar. Memelo, he needs the shtar. He needs the shtar to be given. Okay, so here, over here, in this mahalach was saying over here, is the question over here is the malve. Does the malve need to hold on the shtar to give it to the loive? If we hold of the principle that a malve can give to the borrower a receipt, so then the shtar pretty much is worthless because I do not need to retain this piece of paper, because instead of me giving him this piece of paper, I will give him a receipt in its place. So therefore, the piece of paper really is worthless to me because I don't need to give him the shtar. I can give him a receipt. But if you hold the halacha is that the loive has a right to demand, no, I want the shtar itself. I don't want to be burdened by holding on to the receipt I'm afraid I will lose my receipt. And then the day will come when you'll take the shtar, you'll collect a second time against me. Therefore, the solution for me is to destroy the shtar. Give me the shtar so I can destroy the shtar. If that is indeed the case, then the shtar has value, because the shtar must, not because it has value that you can collect with it, it's not because the shtar, it's because the shtar, that when you pay the money, the shtar must be given over to the other person, because you cannot force him to take a receipt. You have to give the shtar, and therefore there will be a chiv ha'itzah on Shabbos. Nachmo, let's see the Rashi over here. Rava Mar, let's see the Rashi. Rashi over here is Rava says, look at the top Rashi. The second one. The kugel mitzvah l'kaima. Everyone agrees on l'kaima. V'hachal v'yibit parav v'yibit mamish kama. So we hear the case going where the question is, did you actually pay off or not? The shtar mekuyim. The shtar is a real shtar. It was mekuyim. With the kuli alma also lisha is shtar perua. Everyone agrees that you're not allowed to hold in your possession the shtar that's been paid. If I have a shtar that entitles me to collect money, once the money was given to me, I am not allowed to hold the shtar in my possession. And now we're discussing a case where the shtar indeed was paid. I put out the shtar, give me $1,000. $1,000 was transferred. And now I have now in my possession the shtar. What do I, the lender, do with the shtar after I have in my, I got the money, I was paid? So the hocha, that's the machlokes in the Yehuda and the Rabbanan. The hocha is the machlokes Rashi, because do we write a shoiver kamivlagi? Yesh Garson, here different gear size. Tanakama Savar ain't Kaisim Shaver Al Shtar Perua. Tanakama holds we do not write a receipt. Why? Why do we not write a receipt? Sha'ata Matsriho Lishmar Shaver Minho Akbarim. It's not fair. If you're gonna write a receipt and you can give the receipt to the borrower is gonna have to guard the receipt for the rest of his life. So therefore, the better thing to do is the lender should give the document itself to the borrower, so the borrower can now destroy it. Ella machzir loy v'sarfay. The lender gives the actual document to the borrower and he burns it. The also lehashoisay, and you're not allowed to keep it in your house in 1 second. Rabbi, therefore, it comes out now that according to this man, the Amar, since you have to get rid of it, you have to. Immediately hand it over. Let's see. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Kaisim Shaiva. We do write a receipt. The Ayde Shaiva Motul Lishay Shtar Peru Olot Zapitz Luchusa. Now, according to this interpretation, okay, that's what a little bit. According to this interpretation, the Tanakama holds that Yipater. Why Yipater? Because since I have to dispose of the shtar, now it's important to understand how will you dispose of the shtar. The way you will dispose of the shtar is by giving it to the borrower. But nevertheless, according to this Mahalach Nigmar, you must dispose. If you must dispose, it means it has no. And if you must dispose of the shtar, that means the shtar has no value to you, because you're going to have to get rid of it. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you do not need to dispose of the shtar. You can keep the shtar forever. Oh, but I don't. How are you going to protect the borrower? The way the borrower is protected is by getting a receipt. I can keep the piece of paper. What will I do with the piece of paper? I'll use it. Lots of pieces of lechusay. Okay, so that is the way Rashi explains the first mahalach and the sin of machlekes and Tanakam, Rabbi Yehuda. We are discussing a real shtar. A shtar needs to be validated, and the case here is going with the shtar was validated, and the lender collected. The money was transferred from the borrower to the lender, and now all of a sudden Shabbos Kodesh comes, and now the lender has in his hands both the money and the shtar. Now, you can't play games, it's too quick to play games, because they're witnesses that it was paid. But what is he going to ultimately do with that piece of paper? He must, the second Shabbos is over, get rid of it. Give it to the borrower. Since he has to get rid of it, give it to the borrower, it has no value to him. He's nervous. I want to get rid of it. And the mail has no value. it has no value. If he takes it out on Shabbos, it's potter. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't have to get rid of it. He can keep it. How then will he pacify the borrower? By writing for the borrower a receipt. And he can continue to keep in his possession the shtar. So the shtar has, and he'll use the shtar for lots of pitzlu kusoy. So the shtar has value. Good. Rashi goes on to say, Velohi, I don't like this pshat, why not? Chad, number one, the kevin, since the also lashes shtar puru afilai de yeshayver. Number one, since it's also to hold on the shtar pura, to receive nami also. Okay, so an incredible chiddush Rashi. Rashi here is saying that even though in Takut the halach is true that you're allowed to go give to the borrower or receive, Rashi here, this is an incredible chiddush. Where would you come up with such a chiddush like this? Rashi holds, even in this case, also lishay shtar. You're not allowed to hold in your possession the shtar. Yeah, chiddush. I'm showing you here such a chiddush. I'm showing you there.
Yep.
You're the only one here tonight.
Right,
yeah. So you hear what Rashi's saying? It's just me and you tonight. There's no one here but me and you. There's no one joined us tonight. Just me and you.
That's it. It's Shlomi's son got engaged.
I know, but the party's not tonight. The party's tomorrow night.
What can I tell you, my friend? Is that the one in Dallas?
Yep. That's the one in Dallas. Mirza Shem, soon by you, Simchas, by your daughter. Very, very soon. So over here, Rashi is saying an incredible chiddush. Rashi is mechadesh that the halacha, al tishkoin be'oyolecha avla, applies even when you give a receipt. If not for this Rashi, you would never say such a thing. Today in the modern world, people have debt. People have records. I have records. I have the right to collect from you $1,000. I don't throw out that debt shtar. I give you a receipt. Once you give me the $1,000, I give you a receipt. Today it's unheard of for the lender to take all the records that money was owed to him and to destroy it. What the tummy, the banks, they go and they collect the mortgage. And then a person after 25 years, he pays off his mortgage, or the bank goes into the computer and destroys all the records. Unheard of. Not only don't destroy the records, they have on record exactly how many times you were late. They have every little detail about how much you paid, that you were late. And they'll go and they'll use that information against you for anything in the future. Oh, look at this. You were late in paying twice in 25 years. I'm not so sure we can go give you another mortgage because we don't trust you because you were late on your payment twice. Today in the modern world, there's no such thing. Once, even though you collect, you do not destroy the records that give you the ability, the entitlement to collect. Oh, but it's dangerous for the borrower. For the borrower, you write a receipt. Correct? Along comes Rashi,
yep.
And Rashi is mechadesh, a din in dinei mamonos, which is totally unbelievable, which should be mentioned in every MBA. Everyone who gets an MBA should know this Rashi, to understand what ethics means in the mind of Rashi. And if you collected your debts, you have an obligation to destroy the records, to cleanse, to purge from the computer with one of those programs which goes in and purges the ones and zeros. There should never be a record that somebody owed you money, even after you gave that fellow a receipt. Do you know why? Because maybe that fellow will lose his receipt, and then you'll have your records, and you'll go collect a second time. Memela al tishkan v'olecha avla goes that far. This chiddush is totally off the charts. This is something which has to be discussed in every MBA, get by graduation, MBA, NYU. NBA, you go and you sit over this Rashi in Daf Ayin Tes Masech the Shabbos, what it means to have values of business ethics according to Rashi standards. You hear this Rashi? V'loi, look, I'm not making this up. Chada, number one, the Kavan, since the Osur Lishoy Shtar Porua, Afilu Al Yidei Shoiver Nami Osur Lahashoisai. Why? Shema Yover Hashoiver, maybe the Shoiver, the bar will lose the Shoiver, is the Choiziv a Goiver boy. Rashi comes to reject the first Pshat, he first brings out a Mahalach. The first Mahalach is a Goyish Mahalach Rashi, because according to the first Mahalach comes out, there's no denial, he's a Mahalach Avla. The oid. Furthermore, the Rabbi Yehuda, another kasha, ain kaisu shayver shaminulei. First, it's a steer also, because he's telling me that the whole lumnis Rabbi Yehuda is built upon the principle that you write a receipt, and because that's not true, he's now using a technical kasha pumfakert. Rabbi Yehuda ain kaisu shayver shaminulei. Here, you tell me that you do write a receipt. We know if you don't write a receipt. The Bava Basra, the Tanan. If you pay a part of the chayv, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, yachalif. What do you mean yachalif? If you pay, you have to write a new shtar. You destroy all the documents. If someone owes you $1,000 and he pays you $500, Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what you do? You destroy the document for $1,000 and you write a new document that $500 is owed. The Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yichtav Shoiver. No, let the guy keep the shtar that says $1,000, and the borrower gets a receipt for $500. So what do you see? You see that according to Rabbi Yehuda Pumfakert, you do not write receipts. So therefore, Rashi now makes a Nahapuchu. The Nahapuchu. The Hochi Gar is, and if a Rashi over here goes like that, this is the correct Girsa. Tanakam, behold, he holds Koisim Shoiver. He's the one that tackles ego. You write a receipt. You do write a receipt. And, if you write a receipt, so why then? The Tanakhama said you're going to be potter on the shtar. V'hochi kamar, mishnepera oi, loive, v'hoitzi o malva. When the loive pays off, and the loive malva takes it out, v'shabes potter, she'ein oi tzoruch loi, he doesn't need it. Why doesn't he need it? So now the lumdus is, we're not saying lots of pitzluchus. See, we're doing a pumfakert. Because adarabah, Agrashi explained, al tishkoin bi olecha avla. That's klar, it's a murder gevart here. According to the Rabbanan, the lender collected $1,000. The lender wrote a receipt to the borrower, you paid me $1,000. The lender now has in his possession the document that entitled him to collect. Rashi just said l'shitasai, that document must be destroyed because of the danger. The borrower will lose his receipt and the lender will come collect a second time. You must destroy that document. Okay, Mimeil, that's why you potter if you take this shtar out on Shams, because this shtar has absolutely no value. Now, the Amarta came under Roy Lots up its Luchus. Oh, you tell me, oh, Lots up its Luchus, the boy. I do it the live. He's asking a murder kasha. Why don't we say the piece of paper has value? Give the piece of paper to the borrower, so the borrower will be able to make use of it. In other words, the borrower would want that piece of paper. Since the malva is not allowed to have it in his home because he may come to collect a second time, has no value, so why should he burn it? Let him give the piece of paper to the borrower. And the borrower will be able to use it as a bottle cap. So Rashi says, no. The borrower doesn't need such bottle caps because the borrower is afraid that maybe one day he'll fall in the garbage and then the lender will find and the lender will collect a second time. So the borrower would much prefer that it be destroyed. Everyone wants this document destroyed. V'nami loy mahad le'malve lo yichmas le'loyve the malve kasa le'loyve shava le'loyve. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ain kaius v'parmen." And if he doesn't give it to him, so no, anyone has the receipt. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ain kaius v'shayver." How did he vote? Tzarchul ha'malve the boy adurei. Oh, now he's in a merdik of svarpum vakeret. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't write a receipt. So therefore, the lender has to hold on to this document to return it. So since he has a tafkid, he has an obligation to take the shtar and to return the shtar to the borrower. There's a tafkid, he has a purpose, he has to do something with the shtar. That itself makes the shtar valuable.
I feel bad I got too loud of you.
What?
It's way too loud, man.
What?
It's loud
too loud, I know, it's very loud, it's very hard, I know. Maybe I'm going to go into the room, maybe next time I'm going to the room. I don't know, it seems like the Daf Yomi is coming to an end over here. After Corona, everyone's coming out of the holes, they're going other places. Yeah. Hilkach, therefore, it's Tzorichu Hamalvel Deboi Adurei. V'loi Mahadilei Chayzei V'Toyvoi. Loi Masha Paroi. Loi Sagilei V'Shoyvo D'Kos Hashemar Minakvarim. Got it, Abishol? Okay, Vaitan, next. Now we go to the next answer. Now we go to another answer. Answer number three. Answer. Rav Ashi Amar. Okay? We're up now to answer number three. Rav Ashi says, Amar b'mneshet tzorch lahar oisa lebal choyv sheni de omar lei chazi gavro de parano. A whole new answer. According to this answer, the Rabbi Yehuda holds you're going to be chayiv. You know why you're going to be chayiv? Because you're going to be chayiv because the borrower wants the shtar. He wants that shtar to show people, look, I paid off my debts. You don't destroy the shtar according to Rabbi Yehuda. The borrower needs the shtar, not the lender. The borrower needs the shtar. And because the borrower needs the shtar, that's why the lender has to make sure he gives it back. Let's read the Rashi. Rav Ashi Amar, Plugsayu Kishoyitsi Loivehu. Now he's saying an incredible chiddush. Rav Ashi is saying that the pshat in the Mishnah is not going in a case where the lender takes the shtar out into the street on Shabbos. The case of the Mishnah is where the borrower takes the shtar out into the street on the Shabbos. The borrower. So what's the shaila? Umahu tzorich lo dekamar. Vader loy lotzor mishum dimishum stimas kitz lochis loy mashal shem yevel the animalve. So again, the borrower paid off the debt. Okay, the borrower, he gave the lender $1,000. The lender gave the borrower back the shtar. Now, the lender, now it's on Shabbos, he takes that shtar and he carries it in the street. Is the chayif or hoitzah, the borrower, when he takes the shtar that he got back after he gave back the $1,000, he got back the shtar, he carries that shtar in the street. We have a question, we have a dilemma. Is the borrower going to be chayif for melacha d'oraisa of hoitzah on Shabbos? According to the Rabbanon, no. No, there's no chayif because that shtar is worthless. It was paid. And even no, so that's exactly what Rashi just says. The borrower, it's not worth it to use this piece of paper as a bottle stopper because of the danger that it may somehow get lost, end up in the garbage. Somebody will find it, will give it back to the lender, and the lender will then come and collect a second time from the borrower. So it's not in the interest of the borrower to preserve this piece of paper as a bottle stopper. A bottle stopper costs 5 cents. This shtar entitles the lender to $10,000. Why should I let a piece of paper, if it gets into the wrong hands, to cause me a loss of $10,000 because I can use it as a 5 cent bottle stopper? So therefore, it's just not worth it. Even though under ordinary circumstance, a piece of paper like this would have value, it would be a bottle stopper. But since this particular piece of paper has upon the word the shtar, which allowed the lender to collect $10,000, which he did, and now the lender gave back the shtar. If this shtar gets into the wrong hands, I'm toast. If I'm going to invite Talmidim, I'm going to invite some Hasidim to the tish, and they're going to see on the piece, on the table this bottle stopper with the shtar, and I don't go give them kavod, and the Talmud will be a disgruntled Talmud. He may take the bottle stopper and go give it to my lender, and my lender will forget. He'll collect again Nachmal $10,000. So therefore, the borrower, after he gets the shtar, his goal is to destroy it. Why did he not yet destroy it? It's a kasha and a maisa. Whatever happened, it was late in Shabbos to get a chance, but now it's Shabbos, it's on the table. If he carries out into the street, it's partly because there's no value. Along comes the Halakha of Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, no, it's worth the risk. Not a risk for a bottle stopper. He puts it in his file cabinet, and he locks it up. Why does he put it in the file cabinet? To show future creditors that he has a good credit score. And therefore, that's value. Hear the word? So that's what Rashi. Avol mashal laharos l'sharbal lechayvoyz ulehis halel. Over here, Rashi. See today's daf. Ayin tes is today's daf. I want to ask the Halakha Rabbi Yisrael Limin, what are the chances that you would find on the daf of Aleph Sivan when we said halel? Today, the word in Rashi, ulehis halel, shupoirei achoy voisav. What are the chances? You show me a daf. Show me how many times in Shas it says the word halel in Rashi. Anywhere on the daf. Maybe you'll count on your fingers. What are the chances on Hayes and on Aleph Sivan we should have the word over here in the Rashi, ulehis halel, shupoirei achoy voisav? And especially when the one who's learning the daf is Rabbi Shoel Limin, who's the Gabbai in Spink, and he daven today Shachris, and he daven Hallel this morning. You hear? Hear the vart?
Yeah.
You hear the vart? And it says, Siulis Hallel, Shupoirei Achai Vaisav. The Hallel you should know on Rosh Chodesh Sivan is an andra halal than all the halals of all the other Rosh Chodashim. There are two halals in Rosh Chodesh that are unique. I'm telling you, Ma'amish, you're not going to hear this in any other daf yomi in the entire world. I'm telling you, Chiddush, now you never heard such a chiddush like this before. There are 12 months in the year. In the 12 months of the year, there are two Rosh Chodashim that are very different. Rosh Aleph Tishrei. Aleph Tishrei, Aleph, there is no halal. Yom Adin. Yom Hadin, there's no Hallel, yeah? There's no Hallel in Rosh Hashanah. Aleph Tishrei. Aleph Sivan, you say Hallel. The Hallel you say on Aleph Sivan is a Hallel that you make a bracha with Kavana. All the other Hallels, you're not supposed to really make a bracha. You don't remember the Zovik Shaila. That's why you say Chatzi Hallel. Because you're not really supposed to make a bracha. It's only a minog. What are you saying Hallel for? It's not a Yom Tif. But the Hallel on Aleph Sivan, b'yoyim hazeh, bohu midbar Sinai. It says, what does it say in the Pasuk? On this day, what does it say? B'chodesh hashlishi, let's say, b'nei Yisrael meyeretz Mitzrayim, b'yoyim hazeh, bohu midbar Sinai. They came to Har Sinai. Ilu kervanu lifnei Har Sinai v'loi nosan lanu es ha-toyre dayenu. And Yisrael Limin, today was a Yom Tov. When you today led Klal Yisrael with your Hallel and you made a bracha, this was the only bracha you make on Rosh Chodesh that's an Iker Hadin. All the other times you make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh, it's not Me'ikar Hadin, it's only Midin Minhag. And that's why some people taka don't make a bracha. They don't make a bracha. And even if you make a bracha, some hold only the Shlecht Sibu should make the bracha. Some hold only a Yechidiv Yidavidim Yechidus. That's why it was so necessary that Corona should come to an end today, because if you're davening at home, it's not so posh and you can make the bracha. You can make the bracha on Rosh Chodesh. But this is a Yom Tov. B'chodesh hashlishi litzeis b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim b'yom zeboh midbar Sinai. The Hallel today is a real Hallel. It's a real bracha. And you was zoiche to lead Gans Klal Yisrael with that bracha. I'm saying this now with Shmimin, the place is packed, they're all looking at me. Everyone is staring at me. What am I saying over here? I'm telling the MS. Hear the words?
Beautiful. I appreciate that.
Vayit in the Gemara. Vayit in the Gemara. Okay, so we have over here, Rashi over here says, therefore, and let's go Vayit. Next piece of Gemara. So this is we just learned over here, Murdik Gemara today. Murdik Alumnus. Murdik, which is Chazal outside the Yisoid. So what was the Yisoid? The Yisoid over here is, it says in the Mishnah, and if you take out a shtar on Shabbos, yechayif. It's machloikis. There's a machloikis in the Mishnah. If you take out a shtar on Shabbos, are you chayif or potter? So it says in the Mishnah, if you did not yet pay, yechayif. If you paid, you potter. What in the world does that mean? Then Rabbi Huda says, no. Even if you paid, you're also going to be chayif. What's the machloikis? So the erste zach, you have to appreciate that you have three mahalchim. Who is taking out the shtar? Who? Who is the one that's taking out the shtar? Is it the lender or is it the borrower? In the first two answers, it's the lender that's taking out the shtar. In the third answer, it's the borrower. In the first two answers, it's the lender. What's the hechetimsa? Well, according to the first answer, the hechetimsa is where the shtar was validated, but it was not yet paid. Hermeisa? It was validated, but the borrower did not yet pay. So what's the point? The machloik is between Rabbi Huda and Rabbanan is, but the lender admitted it's a good shtar. The lender was moide, it's a good shtar. Oh, the lender admits it's a good shtar. So according to the Rabbanon, that's it, you're done.
The lender or the borrower?
I'm sorry, the borrower admits. The borrower admits, we're done. It's a good shtar. The mail the lender can collect. It has a lot of value to the lender to collect. Whereas according to Rabbi Huda, no, just because you admit that it's a good shtar, it doesn't mean anything. I could change my mind at the very end anyway. I could say I changed my mind later on. Because you need to be validated. The mail, until you get it validated, the shtar is worthless. That's why he holds you're going to be part of according to Rabbi Huda. What was the second answer? The second answer is going where, again, the shail is the lender is taking out the shtar on Shabbos. But we're not discussing a case where the shtar was not paid. We're discussing the case where the shtar was paid. The loan was paid. And now the lender is supposed to get rid of it. New, get rid of the shtar. What's it doing in your possession? Oh, the machlokes is, can you force the borrower to take a receipt in its place? That's going to be the question. Can you force the borrower to take a receipt? And according to Rashi, his second mahalich, is that yes, the Rabbanan hold, you can force the borrower to take a receipt. And therefore, since you can force him to take a receipt, the shtar is worthless to you. Manavshach. Either you got to get rid of it, give him the shtar, or if you don't want to get rid of the shtar, you want to give him a receipt, you still have to get rid of it. Because Rashi was mechadesh, an awesome chiddush. Records of a lender are to be obliterated. Something which in this world of the 21st century does not understand. Incredible ethics of Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda said that's why you're going to be potter, that's no value. But Rabbi Yehuda said what? Rabbi Yehuda said, according to Rashi, you do not write a receipt. You must give him the shtar itself. Therefore, you need to give it to him. The reason why the shtar has value is because you have to transfer it to the borrower. It has to be given to his possession. And until you give it to him, he's not going to be happy. That's why it doesn't have value, because you can collect $1 million. You can't collect $1 million because we know we are witnesses. There are witnesses that Erev Shabbos the loan was paid. So you're not going to be able to collect a second time with the shtar. It's paid. But you have a duty to give it to the borrower. Every second, there's a demand upon you to do it, to give it to him. Since there's something what to do with this piece of paper, that is what gives this piece of paper value. And that's why, if you take it on Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv. And then we came with the last answer, and that is the one that's taken on Shabbos, not the lender, it's the borrower. And the issue over here is, does it have any value to the borrower? According to the borrower, it has no value whatsoever. It's a danger. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it does have value because I want to go use this shtar to show my future creditors that I'm a good man. I pay my debts. Are we good?
Fantastic.
Next Gemara. Or, could it last us Kamea? Is there or in Shabbos, Sichayev? How much or enough or to make a commitment to make an amulet? Amulet. Amulet was the Mukar of the Machlaikis. Rabbi Yonis and Ibishit and Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, it all was over an amulet. He claimed, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin claimed that the amulets that were written by Rabbi Yonis and Ibishit indicated that he was a Sabbatine. He was a follower of Shabbosai Tzvi, a Kamea. Or Kamea is a very dangerous word in Yadus. What's the shear? It's very loud here, you know. I don't know, it's very strange to do it like this. We're going to have to continue the Corona like this. I'm going to have to go into a different location where it's quiet. Maybe I'll do it in the mikveh. Weiter. Bäume der Röden, wir haben nachher... What?
After first fill it up?
The Rebbeinu Yisrael has to fill it up. He has to bring rain. Geshen. Kasher Yedeit. I think what we should do is we should say, Mashiv Haruch HaMarin HaGeshen. In Shul. That's what we're going to have to do over here in the Shul now. We're going to have to say now, starting tonight, the oilam, because the mikvah needs geshem. That's what we're going to have to do. Right? We don't have a choice. Azoi geitos. Vait in the Gemara. Okay, now we go to Nusugya. Okay? Starting tonight, I'm going to say v'sein talamata levracha. Because the mikvah needs geshem. Weiter. Bominei, Rav, Rav Nach, when I might say I become I'm like it's an ark, the last is Kamea. As an amulet, Hamabdoi bikama. Let's say you have or Hamabdoi, which means you want the or. You want or not for a kamea. You want it for to tan it. You want to make shoes out of it. Voshedon Rashi Hamabdoi. Hamabdoi is a Rashi of Yamotzi bikama. Okay, laabed or I mean laavda aradain laavda bikama shir hoytzasei leather. That you're planning to tan. What's Amal Leishna? Zelbazach. The shear of ore is the same amount. It's enough ore to make an amulet. Next. Now, Le'avdoi Bekama. Amal Leishna. So it says the command the same thing. Ha'isifu Alpi Amashal. Hamabdoi, leather, you're actually in the process. In the brackets, it says leather, you're in the process of being mabed. Amal leshna le'avdoi, in the future, become amal leshna. You know this? How you know that the shear is always going to be the same exact thing? So wait, what exactly is the difference between those three things over here? There are three different zachen over here. There are three different shilas over here in the Gemara. You take out or that already has been processed. What is the shear? The shear is lasos kameya. And then it says let's say you come into the ma'abedit. What's the shear? How is that different? So it seems over there are three madregas. If you have leather, that's already finished. If you have leather, that's in the middle of the process. It's in the middle of the process. And then you have leather that you have not even started. Okay, so you have three different madrigot. You're done, you're in the middle, and you have not yet started. The question of here is, what is the shi'ur of this leather to be chayy for the melacha deraisa v'itzah, taking leather out on Shabbos? I see here there's mamish, no social distancing anymore in this shul. I knew this would happen. One day, we're all done. Wouldn't last more than a day, the social distancing over here. Vital. So what's the shear? Now we're discussing wool. You whiten it. You beat it up. You beat it in order to go and to make it. I don't know. That's part of the process. You dye it. You spin it. What is a sitka full? The Gemara will say the distance between your pinky and your index finger. The oireg, that's the shear, weaving it, base chutin to chutin, shi'uroi, the shear is, kimloi roichev hasit. Here it's only when it comes to weaving, it's one sit. Kimloi roichev hasit, and in the parentheses it says kaful. Almost, so what do we see over here? Kevon, since the tviya koi, shi'ur kitviya. Okay, so that's the right. Just like when it comes to threads. When it comes to threads, we give the shear to the thread in the early stages because the goal is the late stage. The late stage is to go in and to weave. And there it's kimloi chud kafol. So just like the gemar is kimloi chud kafol, so to all of the early stages leading up to that matzav also is going to have the same exact shear. Likewise, the analogy is when it comes to leather, everyone agrees that if you have already finished leather, already has been processed, the shear is kamiya. You don't make a kamiya on leather that's not been processed. Okay, I have to be quiet now. Let's start my...
My friend, I get an ass cult of.
Be well.
Thank you.
Baruch. Ahava soilon days when I'm the mitzvah so you know what I'm going to do. King Khayyam Rav 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 Nage Yom Ambole Rav 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 Rav